Take your Bibles, go with me to 1 John. Now, I know there's the Gospel of John, but that's not really where I want you to be. I want you to go back toward the book of Revelation, and you'll find there are three Johns that are mentioned. You might see them in your Bible as 1, 2, and 3 John, but I want you to go to the first one, 1 John, and I want you to go to the third chapter of that book. While you're turning there, thank you for your hospitality. I love coming to Capital Baptist Church, and I'm grateful for your passion for missions, and I'm grateful for your love of missionaries and the way the decorations are and the beautiful boxes that you had and all of the work that you've done. Thank you for that. That really is just a reflection on our Savior, and I am so grateful. I love even the questions that you raise. And I know that first night you always have that, what questions do we ask? The answer is 120 cases of people who died in Ivory Coast, and there were 17,000 cases. Who asked that? Ask the Google. That's what I did. Right there in church. We don't do that in church normally, but this was missions research. Just kind of buried myself there, didn't I? Yeah. I think it's so neat that the Pates are here. I've known them through their college experience and was privileged to be at their wedding as well. And then to realize the Kennys are here tonight. And the Kennys and the Pates, their countries are next door neighbors to each other. And so you'll get to see some similarities between the two. I've been in both countries a number of times. I've been not to the exact town to which you're talking about, but I've been both on the east side and the west side of the country as well, and grateful that God's got you there, and looking forward to seeing what God does with you all as well. And then Brother Adam and his wife, I know they're here. I'm looking. Brother Adam, just without your wife. Okay. Still haven't seen her yet, but whatever you say. But I knew Adam as well during his college experience at ABC, and so proud of you to see what God's got you and what you're doing for the cause of Christ. It was so exciting. You know, this year is just messed up. That's all I can say. I mean, there's probably no real fancy way to say it. It's just been a mess. But what I like is that missions conference is the one normal thing that we can have. And yes, you're going through a bit of sacrifice to do it this way, and I'm preaching so I don't have to wear one, but if it meant solidarity, I would wear one if that would help. If you think it'll make me preach shorter, I'll be glad to wear one as well. But the point is that this is a normal thing for Capital to be meeting about missions in the fall. Amen. And when everything else is just virtual or this or it's that, we're here, we're together, and we're going to hear from God's Word, and we're going to take time to learn from our missionaries. You say, well, we don't get to do this or that, but look at what we get to do. We get to be here. We get to come. This whole season of virtual church and such, there's challenges with that. And it's super easy to roll out of bed, go to the TV room, grab your coffee and donuts, put your feet up on the chair, and watch Pastor slug it out up here by himself. That's easy. Amen. But I can tell you, the first day I got to go back, it meant something to me. It was good to be in the house of the Lord. So I'm proud of you for being here. Thank you for making the effort. For those of you who are watching online, please do not think in any regard I'm saying anything in a negative or a disparaging way towards you or not. I totally respect your decision to stay and be there and such. I do. I totally do. But I want you to know we miss you too. And it's good. Fellowship is good. It's good when brethren dwell together in unity. Amen. And so now, I've talked as long as I can. If you haven't found 1 John, just fake it, okay? Really, because I don't have any more things to say. I could Google more stuff for you, but that's not going to help. Because we don't do that in church. 1 John chapter 3, verse number 1. Behold, it's the idea, the sense of that word is to stop and pay attention. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us If you are a child of God, that means He is your Father. Amen. Furthermore, that means that He dumped a whole truckload of love on you when He adopted you into His family. Amen. This love is what motivates us to hang flags, bring in missionaries, give gifts, send forth missionaries, sacrificially give support, to focus on this. This is all about the love of God. If you are here and you only give because you have a sense of guilt, then you're giving for the wrong reason. If you are here and you're just giving because you're angry, because you say, well, if I don't give, I can't have my position in the church, you're here for the wrong reason. If you give out of a sense of fear, you've totally missed it. What does it take to give? Love. Love constrains us, love compels us, love motivates us, love drives us. If you give for any other reason, you're going to need more of that reason to continue. If you're giving because of guilt, then you're going to need more guilt. If you're giving because of emotion, you're going to need more emotion. But if you wake up every day and know this, that God loves you and He desires for every single person to be adopted into His family, then by all means, you realize what manner of love the Father hath given unto us. That we should be called. I'm back to the verse now. And this is why it's going to take a real long time for me, because I take a long time to read. What manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Don't get hung up on the gender of sons. We're God's children. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. John will continue to write about the differences between the children of the world and children of the Father. The world does not like us. You say, well, Brother O'Malley, it's really hard to be a Christian. Yes. How many were thrown to lions today? So, Brother O'Malley, it's a challenge out there. It's never been this hard before. I'm sorry, there's a whole list of pandemics through which our society has survived. You say, well, Brother O'Malley, it's a really challenging time, politics. When on earth have we ever had an honest, perfect, upright, godly, qualified to be a pastor leader? Okay, so don't worry about that. So, well, I'm really worried. Don't. God loves you. That is profound, that the God of all glory looked your way, saw the naughtiness in your heart, and still offered to adopt you. What manner of love is this? Why do we get together? Because God loves us. There's a whole world that doesn't know that. Look at this passage of Scripture. I'm not even preaching from these verses, but I'm headed in that direction. I'm really preaching from Revelation 21, and I thought I'd just read from here forward. 2, verse 2, beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And every man that hath this hope in Him, watch these words now, purifieth himself even as He is pure. Amen. The hope of God's love, the hope of His return, the hope of heaven, the hope of eternity with Him changes us. Say, well, it hasn't changed me. Then maybe what you got is not what is being described in the Word of God. When we realize the love of God and who we are in Christ, it makes us purify ourselves to say, let me get the impurities of the world off of me and let me live in a clear and righteous way before God. Jump ahead with me because you're not listening fast enough. Verse 11. For this is the message ye heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. You say, wow, does that verse apply to us? I like the other one, God loves me. Now you're saying I gotta love Him.
Amen.
Fellow man I'm speaking of.
Right.
You do.
Amen.
In fact, there's a direct relationship with your understanding God's love for you and you loving one another.
Amen.
Note further. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one and slew his brother. Wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil and his brother's righteous. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren.
Amen.
You say, does that one apply to us too? Mm-hmm. The mark of your eternal status with God, your salvation, is you are going to love the brethren.
Amen.
So I don't like them. That's okay, you have to love them. The whole responsibility of man is to love. We receive love, we give love. Notice what he says, he that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Hereby perceive we the love of God. You remember what verse number 1 talked about? Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us.
Amen.
Now we get to the next verse, and what do we see here in 16? The next kind of mention of that is, we perceive. What does perceive mean? What is the idea of the word perceive? It's the idea to say, well, I've got teenagers here. I can ask teenagers, because they're my favorite people to ask questions. I'm digging for names. Is it John? John, what does the word perceive mean? This is me social distancing but getting in your face. What does it mean to perceive? Because every sentence that begins with and makes me yearn for slow death. Perceive. You want to phone a friend? Ask your father? Dad? Yeah, you're gonna leave the mask down long enough to answer and say, I can breathe. Go. To think. To know. To see it clearly and understand. It's to have the light come on when someone is teaching you or explaining something to you. It's the idea of saying 1 + 1 = 2, except if it's Common Core and then you work that out. But it's saying that I understand 1 + 1 is because when I do 1 and then I add 1, then I count that and that's 2. John, you had that part down, right? 1 and 1, 2. Good. So when we perceive something, it's like we say, oh, I got it. I know the love of God. Hereby perceive we the love of God. Notice what he says, 16. Because he laid down his life for us.
Amen.
So I get it. My 1 + 1 about the love of God is the fact that he gave his life for us. This is a phrase that John uses probably 7 times in his writing, the whatever expression, how it works out in English, but it's the idea of saying, lay down his life. This is a phrase that John will use more than anyone else, in fact, unique just to John. And he'll use this phrase, and in this first instance, he's saying, you know God's love because of this sacrificial gift of his life. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but should have everlasting life. This is the gift of God. We understand God's love when we perceive it, when we look at his act of love on the cross. Note 16. And we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren.
Amen.
Say, whoa, whoa, are you saying I ought to die for the brethren? Now, John, what's your brother's name? Philip. That's right. I'm remembering. It's coming back. John and Philip. Do you love Philip? Yes. Philip, do you love John? Mom ever tell you not to lie in church? Can we switch to family one of these nights? We'll just go to family. It's hard when your siblings to say, I love my sibling. I love him to death. That's what I love. But when John writes, it goes beyond that. It's to say that of my life and my resources and my energies and my strength, I will set aside everything. There's a beautiful way to express this. It's to have a loving willingness about us. In fact, when you read those words and you understand that phrase, lay down his life, it's to say that there's this loving willingness. A child cries in the night and the mother doesn't have to figure out whose turn it is to get up with the kid. The mom just gets up with the kid. Why? There's a loving willingness within her. The husband and his wife been married for years and her health begins to fail and he takes care of her to the best of his ability. Why does he do that? There's a loving willingness there. There ought to be, because we've received the love of God, a loving willingness inside of us. If I have to tell you an emotional story to motivate you to give in missions, next week you're going to have a larger, greater emotional story. If I tell you to give to missions and make you feel bad because of guilt or put on shame on you to say you're not giving, then next week you're going to need more guilt to motivate you. But if you woke up in this morning and saying, I am clear, God loves me, and there's over 7 billion people on earth, the majority of whom have never heard, then there ought to be a loving willingness inside of me to demonstrate the love of God to every single human. Amen. Now let's be honest. Some humans are harder to love than others. Don't point. They are. Some people, well, they're loving them is like hugging a porcupine. You're just going to get stuck. But when it comes to understanding I am loved by God, then there ought to be a loving willingness about me. Notice verse 16. We ought to lay down our lives for our brethren. 17. But whoso hath this world's good and seeth his brother have need and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Let's pray together. Father, I want to do everything I can to simply and quickly share with these dear folks just a couple of thoughts that you've placed on my heart. May we see tonight what love ought to do to us. Amen. And may we see it clearly from this passage. For this I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Love does something to us. In fact, if you would write down notes in your conference notebook, the points I'm going to give you will all start similarly. So the first word will be love. The second word will be makes. The third word will be me. So see that? You're probably 20% done with the message just by writing that 84 times. No. A couple of things I want you to see tonight. But all of them have to do with what love does to us. Number one, write this down. Love makes me give. Specifically, hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Love makes me give. I am compelled to give. When it costs me something, when it takes my time, when I look at Calvary, when I look at an empty tomb, it is love which makes me give. Beside you, somewhere very close to you, is one of these cards. And these cards are here for your benefit, for your help. And you say, well, why on earth? I should turn it right side up, John. You're responsible. If it's upside down, tell me. Turn it around. Why would on earth would I give? Love.
Amen.
Makes me give. I understand God's love. My moment of the 1+1 working out about the love of God comes when I realize what He gave for me. You see, Christ offers us a love that is unconditional. He offers a love which is beyond understanding. He offers a love which includes you. He offers a love which cost Him everything. It's the love that compels me to purify myself and to lay down my life for Him and to live for Him. You see, His love reaches the lowest down, the furthest out, the highest, and those who are despised. His love reaches those who are connected and disconnected. His love reaches those who are broken, bruised, and rejected. His love reaches those that think they are accepted. His love includes those that are excluded as well as included. His love reaches all. When I want to know why I'm involved in this mission program at this church, love makes me give. Here's the second thing of the 84 I'm going to give you. Verse 17. But whoso hath this world's good, few would argue with me on the validity of that point in this nation. Sure, Josh and Katie have been to Ivory Coast, and you might have thought you saw poverty here. But in West Africa, there's a whole new level. It's a PhD level of what poverty is.
Right.
You see that. You return to our country and you run to Dunkin' Donuts or Starbucks. You run by McDonald's, and with a phone call, you can have pretty much any meal in town delivered to you. We're poor! Yeah, but this is a whole other level of poor. So now, what does love make me do when I realize I have this responsibility with my resources? Number one, what does love make me do? Number one, love makes me give. If you don't repeat these back, we have to stay until you get them. So I would start to repeat them. Number two, love makes me see. Love makes me see. Notice what it says, whoso hath this world's good. What's those next words? And seeth his brother have need.
Amen.
Wow. It's love that makes me see. When you come to church, you see the buses run when we can run them, or you see the Sunday school classes that are here. What do you see? Kids running around here that are just going to destroy the property? Or do you see souls who are for whom Christ died?
Amen.
When the needy people come in, and who here isn't needy?
Amen.
When someone comes in and they maybe don't look exactly like you look, thank God, but I really need to work on being nice. I'm going to work on that. When they come in and you look at them and you want to look down at them, stop. Such were some of you.
Amen.
Love makes me see. Brother Pate, you shared tonight about your mission field, Ivory Coast. In the Ivory Coast, how many people live there? This is time we ask you questions. 24 million people. It's quite a bit. I was in the town of San Pedro. Do you know where that is? On the west side of the country there. 110 mosques in a town of 1 million people. You say, wow, Muslims, they hate America and we hate them worser. I do understand grammar, but I just thought I'd contextualize just for a moment, and every single one of you understood. So that made me feel good. But the point is this. We can't see souls through the lens of world politics. We cannot see souls through our eyes of patriotism. We must not see souls as we feel about it. Every single person on earth is loved by God as much as you are loved by God. Brother Josh, 24 million people live there. What percentage would you say are saved to the best of your learning and understanding? Two questions tonight you didn't know. I'm calling my friends at BIMI.
Very, very low.
Very low. 10%?
I'd say less than that.
10% or less. Can I tell you about another mission field? It 70% in this place claim no religious affiliation. 70% claim no religious affiliation. In fact, in this place I'm referring to, I'll divulge in just a moment, in this place to which I'm referring, they, to find a gospel preaching church would be a challenge when you're in a community that 7 out of 10 people say, I don't identify. Where? Dover. You ever heard of it? Oh, I want, let me see Ivory Coast, God. Okay. Love makes you see Ivory Coast. But love will also make you see home.
Amen. No, that's true. Amen.
Yeah. So, well, where did you find that at? Google. 1.6% of people in this county, in this town, say that they're Baptist. 1.6%. Between Methodists and Catholics, you have about 21%. Tell me how many Catholic churches to which I would go today to hear a gospel, the gospel clearly presented, salvation by grace through faith alone. And if Catholicism is your background, I am not insulting your family. I am not at all. My family comes out of that tradition. I get it. But if we get down to where's the mission field, I'd say you wouldn't have to go very far from this property. What does love do? Love makes me give.
Amen.
Love makes me see.
Amen.
When I see kids as the problem and not souls for whom Christ died, when I see people headed to the lake or headed to the beach on Sunday, and I see folks headed to do all sorts of other things than God's house on Sunday, I can get pretty grouchy and gripey about it. Or I can say, no, love makes me see them, their souls for whom Christ died. Number 3. Back to 17. Seeth his brother have need. Watch these words now. And shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him. Number 3. Love makes me decide. I have a decision to make. Am I going to give? Am I going to go? Am I going to help? Hearing those numbers about your own county is intimidating.
Yeah. Amen.
You say, we're out here doing the best we can. And 7 in 10 in your own town say, I have no religious affiliation. Love makes me decide something. To shut up the bowels of compassion is to take that yearning, that deep, visceral feeling within and say, I'm not going to do anything about it. That's a decision. And laying down your life is also a decision. To say, I will have a loving willingness for the lost souls in this world, just like my Father does.
Amen.
Why would Jeremy and Tanya and the kids go to Ghana? Love makes me give.
Amen.
Love makes me see. Love makes me decide.
Amen.
I was with Jeremy when God was working on his heart about going to Ghana. What does that? I mean, why are you going to Ivory Coast? Are you running from the IRS or something? That would be a good place to say no. Okay, good. You go because love made you see. Love made you give. Love made you decide. Number four, love makes me check my heart. Notice what the Word of God says, 17, last phrase. How dwelleth the love of God in him? Have you ever heard an exasperated parent look at their kid and say to them, whose kid are you? You don't have to point, John, I got it. I can't believe, whose kid are you? Where did you possibly learn that? You cannot be my kid. And yet we claim to love God, and God loves us. And the question that is put before us is, how's the love of God in you again?
Amen.
You don't see, you decide not to give, you look at them and you just say, love was supposed to make me see, but I don't see them. Love's supposed to make me to decide what to do. I decide no. Well, then whose kid are you? God's kid's love.
Amen.
It's the delineating, the marker between God's kids or not God's kids.
Amen.
So when I say to you, love makes me give, and love makes me see, and love makes me decide, then you better put on here, love makes me check my heart, because I look at that question and said, if you will allow a little free expression of this sense, whose kid are you?
Yeah. Amen.
Where did you get that from? We don't give, we don't see, we don't respond. We shut up our bowels of compassion and we call us a church? Whose kid are you?
Amen.
Number five. My little children, let us not love in word. Oh, that's a strong talk game, right? You can say the words, oh, I love God, I love everybody, I love my mom, I love my brother, I love my enemies. Brother and enemies ended up together. I'm sorry, it wasn't intentional, but I just looked over and there it was. Look, I love everybody. This isn't about talk. Would you allow me to kind of make a parallel? I love missions. I love missionaries. I love their stories. I love the idea of what they're doing. I love to hear about the foreign places. I love to hear about the food. I love to... Let's not do this thing in word and tongue.
Amen. That's good.
What's the choice? Deed and truth.
Amen.
Last one, and we'll think about using the word closing. Love makes me take action. A loving willingness puts truth in motion. A loving willingness results in loving works. We don't do missions just to have something to do in the fall. We don't do missions because we like to meet missionaries going to other places. We don't do missions just because we want to feel good about ourselves. No, we do missions because of an incredible love with which we've been loved. And then in turn, love makes me give. Love makes me see. Love makes me decide. Love makes me check my heart. And love makes me take action. Would you stand with me? Those responsible for the instruments, if you would come. You've been patient. I've attempted to be brief, but I will not shortchange the fact that we need to let God work in our heart. Yes.